Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstkeclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Whoa, did you say a bad word?
No, I said shoot.
Okay, because we were like, oh my God, we're 10 seconds back into this and it's all falling apart. KNC Masterpiece, Kevin Hagelin here. I'm decided to come back to work on what an opportune day to drive again. Is Corey Majors is at his house, his new house, safe in Plano.
Yeah.
Mike Bassick's here. Joey Erickson is here showing how much they love radio. Mike's commitment level continues to shock and amaze.
Thank you. I'd just like to say my commitment to Odyssey, the company that I love so much, the commitment to the Tolos, the commitment to you guys, Kevin and Corey, Slim Scotty, Carter. Mm-hmm. Carter's not here.
He's not.
He's working, though. He's at home.
I would just like to say my commitment is unwavering. In other words, it's amazing.
Do you know the other words that you want to use, or was that just like you're like, well, I ran out of words, so
yeah, I only had one word. I just like to say I'm big time,
Corey. I don't know if you're with me about Mike. I believe a lot of those things that Mike said, except for pledging his loyalty to the company. Like, I believe he supports us. I believe he supports the Tolos. I don't believe the very beginning part of that statement.
I believe they're in Philadelphia right now listening to our show because they love it so much.
Mm-hmm. Why don't you take more phone calls?
They're thinking to themselves, man, a little bit of ice, and those guys in Texas don't have a clue what to do.
I mean, that's fair. Just my biggest thing that I always think in that is when it's 100 degrees and people are passing out in the middle of the street other places, I'm like, that's fine. Like, that's our time to shine. We don't know what to do with this.
That's a fact.
Even my mom is like, I remember when she moved here, she would tell me the stories from Chicago and everything. And she's like, yeah, you guys don't do snow tires or snow chains or anything. And I was just like, I don't even know what those things are when she mentioned them to me.
How do you put chains on a tire?
I have no idea.
You wrap it around the tire, and then you
have to get your car off the ground to do that.
You roll into it, Mike. You roll the tire into it.
That makes more. And they just stay there.
Yeah, you stick.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to take the nail and put it into the tire.
The nail. The
That keeps it secure the whole time. Pretty sure.
That feels wrong. The last part. The rest of it, I believe, if you're like, no, you lay the chains out and you drive and they just stick to your tire. I'm like, maybe. I have no idea.
I remember my dad doing it once when I was younger. I remember like watching him do that. How old were we? What, second grade? Something like that. When we had one of these kind of big ice storms roll through, like spring break time. And I remember my dad was doing that, and I was watching him do it, but I had no clue what I was doing. And I don't think he ever did it again. He was like, I will never need these again and for the rest of my life. And he didn't. He's still alive, so.
So you can't definitively say that yet, then, can you?
You know what? You got a point, Kevin. I can't, because he could be using them today, driving around the property.
Now, we were talking about this, Corey. You and I were talking about this before the show, and I know Mike touched on it. Is, I guess I'm just really curious, everyone listening right now, 877-881-1053, did you have to go to work, and, like, where did you come from? Because we were talking about the driving conditions.
My mom.
This
Me too.
Might sound...
Not his mom, but my mom.
This might sound crazy. Why would you be? Never mind.
You just need to make sure there are specifics there.
Yeah, that is a good point. Mike's always there to make sure we're staying on task. What was the drive like? I told you, Corey, I stand by this. I actually thought the drive was easier today than my normal commute. All right, now hear me out. I know that sounds like an insane hypothesis. is normal commute up here during like still kind of rush hour and everything is you have to deal with a lot of unpredictable drivers who some get rattled easier than others. Driving up here, it's difficult, but there's nobody on the road. Like right now I can see across the entirety of the highway, there's like maybe 14 cars. And like it's a long stretch. Now people are ebbing and flowing in, but there are giant gaps of space between people. So
22.
Oh wow.
Oh, we have a little bit of a slowdown right here where there's a lot of cars.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Ooh, and people are passing each other.
When I say a lot, like there's like 8 cars all near each other.
Yeah, as opposed to usual in that gap, you could probably see, I don't know, 500 cars or whatever because it's a long stretch of highway we can see since we're so high up here. You don't have to work against or compete against other drivers because I would love that everyone worked together, but that's not really how it works. But this, it's Corey, it's you against the ice. Mm-hmm. It's like that is, I would much rather deal with an inanimate object on the road that I have to outsmart or work with than a bunch of unpredictable drivers who get scared or reckless or whatever.
Yeah, I think, and one of the things that you probably had a benefit of this morning is it was still like grainy and crunchy.
Yes.
As opposed to like slick, just a slick ice top.
Yeah.
Because right now it's still kind of coming down. Later in the afternoon, what we're understanding is that it's going to kind of continue to do some other things. But
I think tomorrow could be a nightmare. I really do.
And I think you're right. I think, oh man, my son is currently shirtless standing outside.
Is he going to jump in your pool?
I think he wants to do a polar plunge today.
Oh, no,
he's like, Dad, I got to take an ice bath at some point. And so he was like really looking forward to jumping in the pool. He invited me to do it. I don't know if I want to do it, though.
Corey, can I ask you a question? Would you and your wife be okay if we put that on the Zoom? Because that feels like it's going to be entertaining. Is that wrong?
You're talking about Avery getting in the pool, not him and his wife.
No, not what? That's what you thought. I just want to make clear, Mike. You thought my question was, can we videotape Corey and his wife? That was what you thought I was saying?
You need to be more clear, Kevin.
You need to be more clear. You threw a whole bunch of sentences together, and I was like, I think he means Avery in the pool. But then he threw in Adrian and Corey.
This is what I think when Mike reads a book, he goes, I don't know. That was a lot of sentences together. He writes notes in his book and he goes, "Hey Tolstoy, I need you to be more clear." That's like what he's writing.
Or he just makes up the story. And is like, I'll presume it was this. I'll ask Adrian because I'm a parent too, right? So like I can parent this sucker. I don't have to ask her, right?
He's your kid, too. Yeah, you don't need to make a call.
But yeah, I'm going to check with her for sure. Absolutely. Because, you know, that's just kind of what we do around here is I check with her about a lot of things. I drove surprise. Once, Kevin, to Fort Worth. This was whenever the Super Bowl was in DFW. And I was working as stage manager for ESPN TV. I did like Cowherd Show and stuff. And he's just the worst, by the way. I just want to tell you that behind the scenes, he's exactly what he is in front of the screen.
What makes him so bad?
Do you want to hear the story about how he yelled at me?
Yes, I do.
So I was doing I was stage manager for his show, which meant we were in a little hotel room kind of thing, and he was sitting directly in front of me, 5 feet maybe. And I just had to stare at him the whole time while he talked to me, basically. And I couldn't answer back. And I was thinking to myself, one day, I'm going to have my own radio show. And
it's already way better than his.
So what happened, Mike, is Tony Romo comes in. I'm like, hey, what's up, Tony? And he's like, hey, how's it going? And he sits down, and he has his microphone. If anybody's watching the Twitch, he has his microphone like this. And so it's up above his head. And the producer said, hey, we need to get a sound check on Tony Romo, please. So I walk up and I'm like, hey, Tony, can we pull this down? And he's like, yeah, yeah. And he pulls it down and he starts talking. And then he just puts it back up. And I'm like, Tony, you can't do that. And they're like, we're getting a sound check. And so I was like, Tony, we need to do this. And out of nowhere, Colin Cowherd goes, like, we're not going to get an effing sound check on Tony Romo. Come on. We're doing okay. And I was like, wow.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man. Thanks for making me feel like a piece of dump here. So I was just doing the job that I was paid like $20 to do that day. And
Shout out to Joey.
I decided
the world of radio.
And that's when I decided oh my gosh, hold on, guys.
Is he jumping in the pool?
I think
turn your camera.
Hold on. He's walking to another side of the pool. I don't know what he's doing. Here we go. Here we go. I'm going to go out the window here. Tell me if y'all can see this.
Oh, he has a ring thing.
Oh, yeah.
To brighten his face up.
Hold on. Let's see if we can see this right
now. Is that Carter out there with him?
Yeah. Can you see that? Is that working?
Yeah, I can. Thumbs
up? He's going to really get in the pool.
This is a terrible idea.
Oh, he's scared. He's scared. He's doing it.
Corey, do a chicken noise. See if it makes a difference. That's so rude. That is so rude. All right. We are bringing you live coverage of whether or not Corey's. Oh, my God. There he goes.
He won't take off his
socks on.
Yeah. Until he does that, he's not getting in.
Oh, he's in.
Oh, he jumped in. He jumped in.
Oh, he can't swim. He doesn't know how to swim.
What?
I forgot about that.
It freezes your body.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He doesn't know how to swim.
Does he seriously not know how to swim? Oh, my gosh.
He knows how to swim. All his flip-flops are gone. He's in the house.
Oh, his flip-flops are in the water now.
And there he goes.
I think your body gets shocked so much, even if you can swim, your body's like, how do I do this?
You know, Corey, correct me if I'm wrong, but he made a bold decision. I couldn't see. It's like blocked kind of by one of the beams.
Oh.
Somebody had a blanket for him, and he ran right past.
He didn't want to get the blanket wet.
He was like, no. Yeah.
Adrian had a towel for him.
Oh, yeah. And he just ran right past them, and he's like, no, I'm going to go inside.
What a decision. That's a 15-year-old for you, though, you know?
I'll tell you what. Goodness. That was brave.
That was brave. I don't know if I have the bravery to do that, guys.
You should not. You hopefully.
That was awesome.
Mike is going to peer pressure you into this.
Corey.
Don't do it.
No, I don't want to peer pressure him into that. You want him to be with Adrian on the show.
That is not what I said. That is not what I said at all.
That was that was gutsy right there. Like, that was a lot of props to Avery. There's no way I would do that today. I don't know what the difference is on like 4 days from now when it's not, there's no sleet or whatever ice on the ground. It would still be just as cold jumping into the pool, but that was gutsy right there.
What's more brave, Mike coming into work or Avery jumping into the pool?
Avery jumping in the pool.
Okay. Yeah.
For the person, I'm going to go with Mike on this one. Like, Avery's just that kind of person. Mike every day showing up to work, pretty awesome. Like, we got to give him credit for that.
It's a gamble on a day-to-day basis. But you know what? Actually,
every day I think, should I come into work?
Actually, Corey, I guess I can't really say anything because I haven't been here for 3 days. So who am I to talk about anyone's commitment?
I tell you what Kevin, here's the behind the scenes. Kevin was so furious with the 12 points against San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
He said, until that MF-er, Kellen Moore, I was like, watch your language, Kevin. But he's like, no.
Nope.
He's like, that MF-er. And I was like, stop saying that. And then he changed it to another two-letter thing. And I was like, we can't say that.
Yeah.
Started with a C. And then I was like,
my gosh.
You can't say that about him. And he's like, until he gets fired and leaves this organization, I'm not coming into work. And finally, we got the confirmation. Kellen Moore, I'm going to call him by his name instead of what you call him by, Kevin, that he went to the Chargers as the offensive coordinator. You finally are like, all right, now my protest is over. Mm-hmm. Jerry Jones has heard me because you said you're going to have to be interviewed by Mike Baskey all of these times if you don't get rid of Kellen Moore. And it finally happened for you, Kevin, so welcome back.
I'm really happy to be back here.
Actually, Kevin had a chance to come back earlier, but he said, not until Kellen Moore gets rehired somewhere else, because I won't even believe it.
He won't believe it.
Until he's hired by somebody else.
Why would I want him to get a different job then if I was so much
against? There was no chance he would be hired back by the Cowboys. You know how you feel about Jerry.
Well, don't put all of that on me. Or it could have been that I had tonsillitis and an upper respiratory infection.
Did you eat a lot of ice cream? That helps.
I did not. But when I told Mike that, he goes, you have to get your tonsils out? And I said, that is what I thought, too. No, that is what I thought. When the doctor told me that, I was like, huh?
Yeah, I thought when you have that, you get your tonsils out.
No, that is what I thought, too. And
you have kidney stones. They take your kidney out.
You're married to a doctor, for goodness sake.
Don't have stones anymore.
Oh, my God. Is... Here's the good news. You don't have stones anymore. The bad news, we took probably just one of your kidneys, right? Because if they took both, wouldn't you die?
Yes, you would.
I looked at the doctor and he goes, don't worry. We don't necessarily have to take your tonsils out. And that looks hopefully unlikely at this point.
Can we not 3D print kidneys yet? Like, have we not gotten to that point where we can just create kidneys and just say, all right, there's your new kidney. Good luck. Is that not something that exists yet?
I don't feel like I'm a good authority to speak on this, but I'll say no.
Mike, your thoughts?
You can have kidney transplants.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. That's, yep.
Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Dude, you don't understand.
It's not Mike a 3D kidney, but it's another person's kidney, and it can go inside your body and work.
From the Kevin, there
they just can't make fake kidneys.
From the 972, guys, let me tell you, this is Radio Gold. I'm 100% here for this.
Okay.
That's how today's show's going to be, man.
And then somebody from the 214, I'll leave out a couple of those words, Mike, since you told me to clean up my language. Yeah. Waiting on the UPS CEOs to make the call. I will tell you, there are two words in between UPS and CEOs, but I have been told to clean up my language, so they're working on it. From the 214, Mike needs to get in all the jokes for all the days you miss, Kevin. But I know you still made jokes. You don't need to send them back to me. Like,
no,
I,
we have a very serious show when you're not around.
What?
Because, yeah.
Yeah, we actually stay on time and everything. It's, yeah, like, you'd love it.
To the point where we come back early. It's wild.
Hold on. Like, we're already 37 seconds over time here.
But did you hear what he said, Corey?
Yeah.
He said you'd love it. So he knows what my goals are for the show, and they only get instituted when I'm gone. When I'm here, Mike's like, not today, buddy.
You got a live coming up. You better hurry up.
All right. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, Luka played great against Detroit. We asked the question, what's more likely, Mavs make a small, large trade or no significant move at all? We'll discuss that next and see how this live read goes next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here's Dinwiddie driving all the way. Dwayne Casey wants a timeout. 8:36 to go in the game, and Dinwiddie sitting up.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 through the Fan. Mavericks victorious 111-105 over the lowly Detroit Pistons as Luka pours in 53 points. Do you guys want? Let's talk about the game for just a second, and then Corey, I know you brought up the broader ideas about player movement and trades and everything like that. Do you look at this game as, hey, I'm glad I watched because Luka was amazing again and we got the win? Or do you say, hey, it was a home game against one of the worst teams in the league. I'm bummed that it took you all the way to the fourth to take it home.
I'm so frustrated with Mark Cuban and what he's doing to this franchise that I intentionally didn't watch. I have to keep – I'll flip it on. The Mavericks are – you know, I mean, I'm being honest here. They are my favorite team. People are like, well, I bet you don't do that with the Cowboys and Rangers. I don't have the same connection to the Rangers at all. I played for the Rangers. My dad played for the Rangers. But once you go through playing baseball with different organizations, it's not really like you can have the same love.
Yeah.
I don't know how to explain it, except you just can't. So I do not have that with the Rangers. With the Cowboys, I've told you guys, they're still my team, but I've disconnected from the Cowboys. I have not disconnected from the Mavs. But I had to occupy my time. So we decided to watch a movie last night as a family. Then I got in a little Peloton boxing workout. And then when that was over, I was like, crap, now we're watching the news, but my fingers want to go to Bally Sports Southwest. And I did, with 7 seconds to go, turned on the Maverick game and watched all of the fourth quarter.
At least you picked the right quarter to watch.
Yeah.
Probably.
So they looked pretty good in the fourth quarter, but I think at this point, watching the Mavs after that 7-game winning streak over Houston and San Antonio, pretty much, is they are not a good basketball team.
Yeah, Kevin, I'm in this place with the Mavericks right now where I hate the fact that that Luka is doing so many special things.
Sure.
And that it's that much of a struggle to do it against on a nightly basis against bad teams.
Yeah.
And so that's where, like, my trying to figure out what they did last year and how they did it. Was it just because there were teams that were falling apart emotionally, internally? That's the reason that they were able to overcome that last year? Or were they good last year? And we're just not giving that enough credit for what they accomplished. Because it did, Mike, you were saying the other day that you said before the season that they wouldn't be this good of a team again.
Well, I thought that they could go to the NBA Finals. I was way too optimistic. So when people are like, you're always negative, maybe this is why I'm so disappointed too, is I thought that they could still do something special this year, and it's gone in a totally opposite direction.
Yeah, and that's kind of like, I think a lot of people were really excited about it, and then there were the naysayers out there, Kevin, that were like, they can't do it. They're like, they overplayed their hand last year.
Sure.
They did all these things. And so I think there were a lot of people that were like, I can't wait for y'all to be proven wrong. Now, again, we could be 30 games away from now and looking at a playoff spot that they're in the sixth spot, and they still can compete against whoever is, you know, their opponent at that time. They definitely could, and they could go quite on the same run, because if they get in the playoffs, they still have one of the best players on the court. It's whether or not the rest of the guys on the team can step up into those roles the same way they did last year. Unfortunately, you don't have Brunson, who's going after a contract. You have Christian Wood, who's going after a contract, and you don't know what kind of player you're getting out of that.
I think the only – maybe I need to ponder a little bit more. The only team that immediately jumps to mind that you can't automatically say you have the best player on the court is it Denver?
Yeah, I think if you're just going player for player
in the Western
Conference.
And that's still up for debate. That's debatable, but I'm saying, like,
yeah, it's very even.
Every other team, you step on the court, I'm like, I got the best guy.
Yeah, as great as Ja Morant is great. Now, I will say this. Steph Curry, when healthy, might be better than Luka, but I understand what you're saying. I totally get what you're saying, is that a lot of times we pick NBA basketball series based off of the best player.
Right.
But every player that is an MVP candidate is 15 games over 500, except for Luka, who is, I believe, they went to 2 games over 500 last
night.
That
is correct.
So, like, literally, if you have one of these players and you just have an average group or a good group around them, you're going to win 55 to 60 games at the end of the year. But the Mavs look like they're going to win somewhere between 38 and 44 games.
Because, here it is, Corey. Like, depending on who your MVP candidates are, I feel like it's safe to say Tatum, 21 games over. Giannis, 16 games over. Embiid, 15 games over. Jokic, 18 games over. The Mavs, or Luka, 2 games. Like, that is a giant disconnect.
I think, Corey, the tough part is I don't think our owner – I hate saying this. I want Mark Cuban to be better at this. I don't think he's smart enough basketball-wise. He's a genius in business and entrepreneuring. I don't think he's smart enough to know what good basketball players or good basketball teams look like.
Yeah, and one of the things about Mike, when you talk about entrepreneurs, what they really should be doing, and a lot of them do this, is they turn it over to the people that love the job, that are really good at it. And then they say, hands off, just let my money make my money. Mark Cuban still wants to be part of the face of this thing. He understands the toy that it is for him and how much fun like that. Because it opens doors. I'm the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. I'm an owner of an NBA team. It opens doors for him anywhere he goes, other than the fact that he's a billionaire on top of that. But what he should be doing is then turning it over to people who have the passion, the desire, and want to make this thing a great thing. And that's something that that's why whenever we talk about Nico, like, we don't really know what his skill set is. We don't know what he's great at, what he's bad at yet, because we don't know what decisions he's made. And a lot of it goes back to, well, it's Cuban. I think he has to answer to Cuban on a lot of things still, Mike. Yes. And I think there's a lot of factors of Nico wants to do all these really great things, but he's handcuffed by a lot of what Cuban has left over. Mark needs to turn that part of it. Run the basketball team. Let him do it. I don't know if he's good at it or not, but we know what Mark Cuban isn't good at right now. So let's see somebody else do it in a very good way and see if they can go win a championship by putting a real team together.
Yeah, I can't really add anything more to that except I agree. But I think Mark Cuban, because the status he gets, right? We hear from the Jones family. Now, look, they're making a lot more money off of their team than the Mavericks are, but still, Mark Cuban's making probably nine figures a year off of owning the Dallas Mavericks.
You think it's that high?
I think it's right around $100 million. Okay. Maybe, but 50, and that's a big number. That's 50 less million dollars. But I do think at the end of the day, he's putting in his pocket somewhere between 50 and $100 million a year owning a basketball team. But I think what really – Mark Cuban, I don't think, hurts too much for money. I do think there's owners that have way more money in this. But the only reason he's on Shark Tank is because he's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. Now, because he wasn't a popular person until he owned the Dallas Mavericks. So there's a lot of status that goes into ownership. And then he makes himself known publicly, and then he gets into small little cameos in movies, and he's on Shark Tank, and he almost ran for president of the United States. And I think all of those things, the reason he'll never give up the Mavericks, not because he loves winning basketball games anymore. I don't think there's much passion in that anymore. But he knows, if I sold the Mavericks, would I still be on Shark Tank? Could I still run for president? Could I do, like, I think that all of a sudden, yes, there's a lot of billionaires in our world that are unknown. Does he become another unknown billionaire? How popular does he become if he doesn't own the Mavericks anymore? Maybe he's built up his popularity so much that it wouldn't matter anymore. But his popularity was built up by owning the Dallas Mavericks. And then it spun off of that. And so for me, Mark Cuban, he has a budget now that really Nico is having a tough time dealing with.
Now, Kevin, I guess I still have a bit of a question. And Mike, I know a lot of it is because of the talent that they have or lack. Where is Kidd in the addition of process to, hey, is he like, hey, I guess all we can do is roll out Luka and that's just what we have to run with? That didn't feel like what Jason Kidd, like his idea of what good basketball would be.
So Mike, I think you and I are in lockstep on this. And so I'm not trying to step on your toes or anything, but I think Corey, it's sometimes I bet people feel this way where they work, right? You can have ideas that you think are good. You can have ideas that you think are at least worth trying out. But at some point, you hit a stopping point because you ain't the boss. And I think the problem that Kidd and maybe and Nico for sure and maybe Kidd run into is, hey, I got this idea. And you pitch it to Cuban. And he's like, that's cool. Here's what we're actually going to do. So I think that is the problem that you run into. And what are you going to do? What is Jason Kidd going to do? Yeah. Is he going to have a press conference after the next game that they lose and he's going to be like, you know what? I want a player X, Y, and Z, but Cuban shut it down. Yeah. Like, that would never happen for good reason.
The last time it happened was when Avery knew he was losing his job after losing to New Orleans Hornets in the playoffs when they were the New Orleans Hornets with Chris Paul and David West and Tyson Chandler. He's like, I never wanted to trade for Jason Kidd. I wanted Devin Harris, and that was a major mistake, right? But he knew he was getting fired after that series was over, after they were not getting past the first round anymore. He knew he was done, and so he opened up and expressed that he was not in favor of that trade.
Yeah.
And so Jason Kidd, I don't think was in favor of losing Jalen Brunson for nothing, but he's also worked with Mark Cuban before, and Mark Cuban started destroying the franchise in 2011 after the championship and doing different things. He thought it was going to be for the best. He thought he was smarter than 29 other owners and presidents because he read the CBA smarter than anybody could ever read it. And so he started letting go of players and letting go of draft picks and letting go of everything because he knew he was smarter. Part of that was Jason Kidd going, hey, I'm going to sign back with the Mavs. And then he got a better deal from the Knicks. And he said, screw it. I haven't signed the piece of paper yet. I'm going to the Knicks. And then he was like, Jason Kidd's written off of the Mavericks history forever because that's Mark Cuban. He's very emotional with this. Tim McMahon can't cover the Mavericks anymore ever again. You can't do a mural ever again. Right? I mean, that's – Mark Cuban
does that. He's the worst at letting his emotions get in the way of a deal.
I'm never having a Bill Duffy client again. Well, guess what? Luka Doncic is a Bill Duffy client. So, I mean, it's just he goes through these things, and now Jason Kidd is back. But I think Jason Kidd does know what he's dealing with here. He's dealing with a budgeted team. He's not running the LA Clippers, or I do think like the Memphis Grizzlies here pretty soon are going to go into major luxury tax. And that owner, who's worth about 3 to 5 times more, I believe, than Mark Cuban, is going to be okay with that. There's a lot of owners that are okay with, I understand when I get a Luka, when I get a Jaw, when I get a Giannis, like Milwaukee is paying multiple years of luxury tax because they know, look, I have Giannis. I have to do this. If there's any chance of winning, once I get to paying a player over $40 million a year, I have to now pay luxury tax until the run is over. And Mark Cuban saying, no, I'm not.
Well, and I saw somebody text in, like they were, it seemed like they were kind of making more fun of Mark Cuban for saying this, but I do want to read it because I did some quick number crunching. Meanwhile, Cuban says he lost money every single year except for one. I'm assuming that's the year they won the championship. Here is where I will kind of dispute that. If you're talking about like liquid money, sure, totally. I haven't seen the books. I can't really speak to that one way or another. But here's what I'll tell you. In terms of asset value, Mark Cuban bought the team 22 years ago for $285 million. Forbes,
that's a lot.
Yes. Well, get ready. Forbes has now valued the team at $3.3 billion.
And Phoenix just sold for $4 billion. So if you wanted to sell it, it would sell for probably $4+ billion.
Exactly. So just keep that in mind. I'll just go off of Forbes' value. Like, hear me out.
Right.
Is in 22 years, it's gone up about $3 billion. That's $136 million a year. Now, I know Warren Buffett will say, I didn't make any money or I didn't lose any money today because I'm not selling. But my point is, in terms of asset management, in the last 22 years, the asset that is the Mavericks has gone up at least $3 billion. So even if you lost $100 million of cash every single year, you are technically still ahead in terms of assets. So that's why I find the idea that they're losing money a little disingenuous.
And let's use common sense if you're listening here. Do you really think Mark Cuban is a million times smarter than me, than you listening, when it comes to money? Do you really think that these business people that have become the smartest business people in the world would own something that is losing them $50 million a year, let's say, out of their pocket, while they could sell it, to your point, for $3 billion and really, honestly, $4
billion? No, you're right. You're
like,
right.
He's making money. The owners in the MLB just were like, I don't know what we're supposed to do with the COVID and everything that happened, and only 60-game season and no fans, nothing's going to happen. What happened this offseason? We're literally 1 year away from them saying, we don't have any money. How much did Jacob DeGrom just get from the Texas Rangers? How much did all these shortstops just get from all these organizations? How much is Juan Soto is going to be $500 million? Shohei Ohtani might next year be $600 million. If they were really, they're the smartest business people in the world, would they really be handing out these contracts and losing more money as years go by? Or are they really probably making quite a bit of money off of this? And that's why none of them really want to sell, because they're like, this is just a cash cow that I have here.
That's your homework assignment, Corey. Go break into the NBA offices and get a look at the books.
I'm stealing some of that liquid money you were talking about, man. I can't wait to get my hands on it. Do I just take like some milk gallons with me and then just fill it up? How do I do that?
You know what? I actually think they might let you into the
You'd
NBA offices.
In all that liquid money.
Yeah, if you said, I'm here for liquid money with big jugs, I think they actually might let you in. Either if you're holding big jugs or you got big jugs. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bastick.
All right, let's talk about prospect lists and how well the Rangers are doing next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I know we're not supposed to look back in radio, but I thought this was such a great point. Somebody texted in from the 260, wherever that is, help me out. You talk about losing money. I guarantee you they are talking about year-to-year projected increases that don't happen. Yep. In my job, which is retail, it's the same way. He is losing, just not making as much as he thought. That's what happened to us at the newspaper. They were like, ooh, our profit margins are lower than we wanted them to be, so we need to cut jobs. And I'm like, hold on. So you're still making money, but you want to make more money, so you need to make our job harder. And they're like, pretty much.
Yeah, that's how it happens, dude. Like, if we got to tighten our belt, so that means we got to start with the employees first, because why would I want to cost myself my trust fund? Right.
You know, I might have spent a whole bunch of money on crypto and NFTs that aren't working out too well. So
what
we
got to
figure out another way on how to do this. So.
Matt Damon told me that was the bold decision of the future. Yeah.
Matt Damon also made a very terrible joke once whenever he was making out with Emily Blunt for a movie, and then he looked at John Krasinski and he was like, I just got done tonguing your girl.
Oh my gosh.
And then he like started crying and was like, I'm sorry, I can't believe I made that bad joke.
Wow, what a range of emotions for Matt Damon there. No wonder.
By the way, it's Seattle, Kevin, is the 206.
Oh, great. Thank you very much. All right, now it's time. This is a natural transition for baseball nuggets.
Thanks.
Mike Bass.
All right, Seattle. As I look at the top 10 prospects in all of baseball, Seattle doesn't have any. In fact, you know what's interesting in the top 10 prospects in baseball? There is not one player in the American League West. In the top, I'll say 11.
Huh.
There is a local kid, though. Jordan Lawler from Dallas Jesuit is number 11 overall. But let me give you the top guys, and then I'll get into the Texas Rangers. So the new list of top prospects are out. Gunnar Henderson of the Baltimore Orioles is number one. He made it up to the major leagues for a second last year. He's supposed to start in the major leagues this year. He is the guy. Corbin Carroll is an outfielder for the Diamondbacks. He should start. I think this is also important for if you're collecting baseball cards. A lot of people look at this list. If you want to know how do cards go up so much or go down at times, this list of top 100 prospects in Major League Baseball makes a lot of money go up and down in the baseball card world.
I remember there was a hot second there where Jason Dominguez hit the scene and everyone lost their mind.
And he had such a bad year, he is not in the top 10 anymore. Francisco Alvarez is a catcher for the Mets. He should be, I think he's going to be one of their catchers this year. I don't know how much responsibility. That's always the toughest position to break into the major leagues, because you're trying to figure out how to be a major league hitter and a major league player while learning your 14 pitchers on your staff, while also trying to learn the other pitchers to hit off of. So it can sometimes take, even Pudge Rodriguez, unbelievable defensive catcher, to start his career off. It took him a couple years to become a really good offensive player just because of how much it takes to do both of those things at that position. Jordan Walker is considered a big-time prospect for the St. Louis Cardinals. They think he might make the major leagues this year. Now, he's the youngest on the list so far at 20 years old. Anthony Volpe is shortstop for the Yankees. He's actually Jack Leiter's high school teammate.
Oh,
so they played high school baseball together. Andrew Painter is a right-handed pitcher. He's the first pitcher on the list for the Philadelphia Phillies. He's 19 years old. Grayson Rodriguez for the Orioles. So this is the second Oriole on the list. They have number one and number seven. Wow. And Grayson Rodriguez, they did announce yesterday that they expect him to be in the starting rotation to start the year. So if you're looking for a young guy to kind of follow, this is the second highest pitching prospect and expected to be on the opening day roster. Fantasy baseball, I think that's big too. As you start looking at veteran guys that go off the board, who's maybe a young guy I can take a chance on that's going to be the next thing. Grayson Rodriguez might be your pick. Jackson Churio, outfielder for the Brewers, number 8. Marcel Meyer, who we might remember in the draft of Jack Leiter, is number 9 for the Red Sox shortstop. Ellie De La Cruz for the Reds. And then Jordan Lawler, I'll say number 11 because he's locally from here, shortstop. Now, before I get into the Rangers, I have this question for you two guys. I just mentioned Meyer at number 9, shortstop, and Lawler number 11, shortstop. Those two guys were considered possible number 2 picks for the Texas Rangers. If you had to do it all over again, do you still want Jack Leiter, or would you rather had one of the two high school shortstops that are now considered pretty much top 10 prospects in baseball?
I'm sticking with the pitching and trying to grow and develop that. I know he had one season. Mike, I did want to kind of discuss that further along with you at some point in the – you know, where should Jack Leiter be this year? What are the options for him? Did he go through his rocky patch in Double A, and now this year he steps into it? You know, Kevin, like what I'm saying is, now this year he's like, okay, I've mastered Double A, and I shouldn't have even been at Double A last year. It's like when your 12-year-old is playing in a 14-16-year-old league, it's like, oh no, now he's mastering, he's grown up into that. So kind of that's what I'm hoping for right now, Mike and Kevin. That's what I'm really hoping. But we're good at shortstop for like the next 58 years. I feel like
Like the numbers dictate very clearly you should have taken one of the shortstops. But I think I'm with Corey because it's not just right now. Historically, this franchise has struggled mightily with developing pitching. So I think I would still go the pitching route, even though logic dictates to me you picked the wrong one.
So Jack Leiter is number 78 on the list. So he took a big drop because of how bad of a year he had in Double A. That being said, I agree with Corey. If he took all of the failures that he had last year, it's the first time he's ever failed in his life at baseball, and also having to pitch every fifth day, which is very difficult. People don't understand, if you're in high school or college and you're the Friday starter, you only pitch every Friday. Now pitching every fifth day and then the travel that you have, it's a lot different. And he was not ready for that at that high of a level. I think if the Rangers had to do it all over again, which they do, his name's Kumar Rocker. Rocker, from what I understand, most likely will start off in A ball. Why? Because of how much Jack Leiter struggled in Double A last year.
I'm a little surprised to hear that. I think that's the right move, but I thought they'd just automatically bump him up to Double.
Now, Rocker did not make the top 100 list, but that's not a bad thing because the Rangers have 6 guys on the list, and Kumar Rocker, the 3rd overall pick, is not on this list. What's interesting is Brock Porter is their 4th round pick from last year.
You want to say Brock Purdy? I get it.
Yeah, he's number 94. But let's go in order from the best to, I don't want to say the worst, but on your top 100 list. The Rangers, by the way, finished, I believe, 4th in the amount of prospects.
Okay.
That's 6. 8 was the high, by the way. It's, I believe, Baltimore. Because Baltimore even has number 12 on the list because Jackson Holliday was the number 1 overall pick.
3 in the top 12?
3 in the top 12.
Since he hasn't really played, Josh Young still counts, right?
Yes, he is number 34.
Is that the top for the Rangers?
That's the top for the Rangers. So the only thing is you're not top heavy here. You don't have what people consider future stars.
Okay.
You have future major leaguers.
Gotcha.
Evan Carter has jumped into the top 100 list at number 41. So I think that's pretty big. A guy who I kind of talked about a couple years ago. So 34 is Josh Young, who will be your starting third baseman in the major leagues. Evan Carter, who will be your starting center fielder in Double A this year at 20 years old, too. He was drafted at a very early age. You have Owen White, who on this list, they say projection, they project that he will make the major leagues at some point for the Texas Rangers this year. So that's a guy we talked about a little yesterday, Corey, on your depth and your rotation. I don't think April, May, or June that you're going to see Owen White. But I do think July to September there's a chance to see him.
Okay.
Kevin, I think the great thing, too, when Mike says maybe you're not top-heavy, you have more quantity. And when it comes to moving players, and like, they couldn't trade anybody before. They didn't have anybody to trade. So now you have little pieces that you can pluck and move on from.
Luis Angel Acuña, who is Ronald Acuña Jr.'s younger brother, he is number 71.
How old is he
on the list? As I scroll down,
71. 71.
That's where he's on the list. He's
20 years old.
Man, would you want a 71-year-old who could still play? Like, I don't know how they could still play. But
best story I could put on baseball.
I will say this. I do think Luis Angel Acuña doesn't play much for the Rangers in his career because of where he's at and what you have money-wise in your infield.
Right.
I don't think – like, Josh Jung, most likely you want him to be your third baseman for a long time.
But could be a valuable trade asset.
And so that's where I do think. I'm not saying he's getting traded next week or during this season, but I do think that Angel Acuña will be used more as a trade chip than a future Texas Ranger. Jack Leiter, as we said, number 78, and Brock Porter, number 94. And I'm assuming just off the list, number 3 overall pick, because he hasn't – pitched at all professionally.
They don't have like an honorable mention, I guess, probably.
No, they just have your top 100. I mean, you can click on, I don't know if they've done everybody's top 30 list, which I didn't click on for the Rangers. But
I'll go check.
I do think here with the Rangers, you're in good shape prospect-wise.
Okay.
Yeah, some guys, Josh Jung, going to be your starting third baseman. Hopefully he, this could be a really tough year for him, but hopefully he produces. I do think next year, not this upcoming season, but Evan Carter could be your starting left fielder or center fielder in 2024. And then Owen White is going to probably be part of your starting rotation in 2024, if not some point in 2023. Jack Leiter will be at some point part of your 2024 rotation. And I won't put it past him. If Jack Leiter starts pitching great, which he could, maybe by July through September, you're looking at Jack Leiter.
How much will that depend on also how good the Rangers are? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
1,000%.
Well, I do think that, and I agree with Corey, is if you're in the race, you probably are having a healthy DeGrom, a healthy Eovaldi, a healthy Gray. Martin Perez is repeating something that he was able to produce in 2022. And then whether it's Heaney, whether it's a guy like Odorizzi, whether Glenn Otto or Dane Dunning step in for somebody, like that's your fifth guy. But if your top four guys are somewhat healthy, I do expect for you to be over 500. And at that point, it might be tough to say, hey, we're fighting for a wild card spot. Let's just bring up Jack Leiter to give him a couple starts.
Now, Mike, I know you agree with this from the 469. No, we need to keep him so we can get Ronald Acuña. That works every time.
Yes. How why would he sign here, Mike, if he doesn't have a brother on staff or
he signed an 8-year contract like 4 years ago. So I think we're a ways
away.
He's
got to wait it out.
Junior.
And then we'll get Giannis at the same time. Or I guess we won't anymore.
Yeah, he's cost too much.
For the KNC match.
Unless, I tell you what, I did hear Cuban is offering Dorian Finney-Smith in the 2027 first. He's hoping for an MVP candidate for that.
Coming up next, we didn't even really get into the trade part, Corey. We probably still need to do that at some point for the best.
Yeah.
Coming up next, Mike asks all the football questions. Right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.